D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 125. This is a show where we talk about anything geek, anything geekery, from Linux to Windows to phones to tablets to cars to radios. If it involves geek, you'll find it here. Well, you know, some cars and radios have it. So I'm Martin Obando. I'm one of the hosts here on Geeksters. Glad to have you guys with us. And with joining me is my two amigos, Tim Baumeister and Mitch Heyman. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello. Welcome Mitch back to myself.
Mitch is back. Mitch,
cross your fingers.
Okay. Nice. Hey, Mitch, how's it going? I see if you're watching the video, Mitch couldn't make it downstairs to his lab where everybody else sits in a nice office chair. Mitch is sitting in the recliner today.
Yes.
Is Days of Our Lives on?
I can't use the TV because I had to use it for my the cable modem for all this stuff. I need to get a splitter, but.
Hey, you know what? Computers versus TV, computer wins.
Yep.
So how's it going, Mitch?
Well, I had the project from Not a Good Place, getting my deck painted, and the guy, you know, cleaning my deck before he painted it. We had my hose running for 4 hours out there, the faucet, it was leaking from inside, and right in my family room with all my computer stuff. And so about 4 hours later, I go downstairs for whatever reason, and I'm hearing gush, gush, gush under my shoes. And so long story short, I got the insurance company involved. I mean, luckily, you know, all my computer stuff is all, they're all on tables down there. I don't have no furniture, just a bunch of tables and chairs. And see, the only thing I had to really do was, like, start unplugging everything. I mean, the extension cords on the floor and Cat 5 and all. I had to get all that off, and then I had to move everything out of there for the restoration company, and just a lot of work.
So how much water ended up being on the floor?
Well, it wasn't where, you know, like inches or anything, but enough where they had to cut and take the carpet out of there. The carpet was ruined, and a foot of drywall on the bottom of three walls.
Wow.
So it was enough, and they had, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 pieces of equipment drying. I actually went to the utility room and have a bathroom in there. Went in there and took part of that carpet out. So they had those fans and the humidifiers running for, I think it was 4 days. Yeah, so it's all dry there now. So, and I got the faucet fixed today. The insurance company, they'll pay for the damage. They won't pay for the broken faucet or the pipe coming into the house, which is probably the cheapest thing out of everything, which is fine. But it's just been a crazy 2 weeks. And who knows? I mean, the restoration company, they're going to fix everything too, but they're like 3 weeks behind, you know. So, I mean, I can get the carpet through them, but it's going to be a while. So,
well, I'm thinking now that the carpet's ripped up and you're down to bare plywood, you should do something fancy.
No, like, it's cement.
Build get a skating rink on it, or some kind of like a skate park, or
I could do roller skates because it's cement down there.
There you go. I'm saying charge people admission to come in to skate downstairs.
They don't make roller skates for people my size, or do they?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess you could use like a lark.
By the way, week one of my diet.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's working.
Hey, I lost weight too. Right here.
You shaved? Yeah,
I did.
Very good.
I don't like it. Makes my face look short.
It looks good. Man. Your wife probably likes it.
My wife liked it long too.
Oh really?
PC Freddy says I look 19. I don't think I look 19. I look like a. Now it just makes my face look fat. Now you can see this. I think that's what the beard was doing. It was hiding my chin. And really what was happening is last week, my beard was hitting the microphone. So it was time to shave. Anyways, I'm sorry. Okay, hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good, man. I was going to say, Mitch, buddy, at least your basement was flooded with fresh water. It was clean.
Yeah, it was pretty clean, yes.
Well, this is going back a few years, but I worked for a guy. He comes into work one day and said that sewage had backed up.
Oh my!
They were on the, you know, city system. There was, I don't recall what caused it. If there was excessive rain or it's something where, you know, you're not supposed to actually plumb your downspouts, excuse me, and whatnot into, you know, the sanitary sewer. That's supposed to go on the storm sewer for obvious reasons. I don't know if it was a thing where the system got overloaded from that, or if there was a crushed pipe or something. But yeah, basically imagine everybody uphill, you know, down so far, and then it comes up through the drain, you know, your floor drain or through your toilets or whatever. And, you know, they had the same thing where it was like, so many feet of, you know, the drywall, everything, you know, had to be removed because it was just, of course, that was a biohazard there. But, you know, that moisture gets inside of drywall and mold and whatnot growing. But, yeah, I mean, it was literally sewage. And so I'd have to move. I don't know if I could even stay there anymore. That's just bad. And you know what? After all of that, the city, like, would take no responsibility. He may still be fighting him after all these years. I don't know. And his insurance, I think, was taking care of it until then. But yeah, the city would just claim no ownership of it. So I think that's like worst case scenario to me. I would just have to nuke it or something.
Yeah, yeah. At least it was all clean water.
It was just water. It was fresh water. Yeah. It was just, you know. So it's still too bad that happened.
I went out and bought a dry vac, wet dry vac, and I pumped out like between 25 and 30 gallons, I'd say. It was like about 5 or 6 times I emptied that thing.
I believe it. That I'm thinking, as long as you got all that, you know, the first couple feet of drywall are out, the carpet's out, and Martin suggested you do something big. I'm thinking you dig down. I'm saying
cement.
you just tear that out. You just jackhammer it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Quietly. So the neighbors don't know, but a little bomb shelter, maybe a little rumpus room. You know, who knows? I'm saying you just extend down. Add a few more rooms.
Indoor swimming pool.
The tax collector shelter.
Yeah, almost had that.
I like the bomb shelter.
I live in a 6-story house, but the tax collector only sees 2 of them.
Oh. Well, sneaky.
Not really.
Wait, we're live. No, I live in a 1-story house. And
I don't know. What is my... It's a split foyer. I don't know what the... I can only go up or down. That's it.
You can't go right or left?
Just sideways.
Nah, well, it's when you go in and you get the little teeny foyer and that's it, up or down.
Yeah, from the front door, you mean?
Right, yep.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Bad chi, man. That's bad chi.
Bad
chi? Bad chi. I mean, as soon as you approach someone's home, you should be welcomed. I mean, you're immediately confronted. It's like a confrontation. Do you go up, do you go down? I don't know what I'm going to do. It doesn't welcome you. It pushes you away. It's bad chi, man. Anyway.
Now I'm imagining my house.
All right, let's talk about tech because I'm tired of my problems because we could do a whole show on what's going on with me, and I don't want to.
Welcome to Mitch Talk.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, that's good at all. What's going on, Martin?
Oh my goodness, I haven't had a busy week as far as jobs. There's been a couple new it hasn't been very busy. It's been big. So a couple of big jobs here, big jobs there, you know, new computer deployments, got called in last week. It's like, hey, can you come deploy a computer? Sure. But we need a printer and we need to get the network hooked up. We need to, you know, is the printer ordered? No. So we've kind of been pushing it back. That'll happen in a couple of days. So I've been able to kind of offset some big things and kind of make a whole bunch of little smaller ones, which is easier to manage. But it's been good. I got some new toys though. That's got me all excited. Some new toys this week, and I went to OzCon. So earlier today, my son and I went down to OzCon, which is the O'Reilly Open convention that they have here in Portland. He's never been. Then you walk in with an empty bag and walk out dragging just swag. My son got a lightsaber, bottle openers. Man, I entered for drawings for. I've been looking at getting one of those drones. You know, they're like the and I've been looking at that. And so a lot of those are there, and I've been, entered some drawings for those. But walked out with T-shirts and T-shirts and T-shirts. Everybody's giving away shirts. So, and hopefully made some new connections for some hosting for some of my clients and also some backup applications. Rackspace was very interested in talking to me regarding some data hosting. So that was pretty exciting to talk to them. But yeah, I've had a good week.
Say it again. It's OzCon. What is this?
It's the O'Reilly. Let me look. It's an O'Reilly convention. It's held in it's Portland. It's the O'Reilly conference. It's the open source convention, essentially. But everybody's there, except I didn't see Ubuntu there. I did see Jono Bacon. I think Nixie Pixel was going to be there. I was trying to hook up with, we had been talking regarding meeting Brian Lunduke. He was on the show a while ago. He lives in Seattle. The guys from the Linux Action Show, I saw them wandering around today. A couple people from Mozilla that I know personally. I didn't see Ubuntu. CentOS was there. BSD was there. Oh, we're going to talk about FreeNAS, but remind me, because I talked to the FreeNAS people, and they, well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. A little bit.
But that's some good stuff there. But yeah, it was good. My son had never been there, and we just got a chance to just wander around and hang out, and it was good.
I was trying to find the common thread between the t-shirts, bottle openers, and the lightsabers.
Well, it's a geeky convention.
It's
ping pong table, foosball tables.
I got it now. I'm good. This is good. I like this.
Yeah, they had stuff like that at Olaf. If you would have been there earlier, Tim, you would have got some shirts or headsets or whatever.
I like to blend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was limited. The whole point of that was just to get there and meet everybody.
I know.
And we did that cool slalom through the hotel parking garage.
Yeah.
That's right.
Bad, huh? Yeah. You like that, Mitch?
I'm still dizzy. Oh. Oh, my.
That's cool. So, and you took your son to that, Martin.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That was fun. Awesome. So, we had a good time.
It's in Portland every year.
It is important every year. It's expensive. I only go it's $25 to get into the hall, the vendor booths. But if you wait, they give you free ones. And so then you could just free passes. You can just get in for free. You register. And so his said Joan Obando, part of Obando Computing and stuff on it. But, it was good. We had a good time. And the conference, I think if you want to go all 5 days, I think it's Sunday through Thursday. What was that? 4 days, 5 days? If you want to go all 5 days, it's close to $1,500. It's an expensive conference. So it's good. Had a good time there, though. So as far as toys go, if you want me to jump into that, we had talked about Open Mesh. It was a while ago, though. We had talked about Open Mesh, and Open Mesh is a wireless mesh network, cloud-based controller and stuff like that. So I bought one. This is their little home. This is their lowest one, and it is PoE. So if you have if this one here does say 12 volt PoE. So if you do have PoE switches, you can plug it into the first one. If you don't, use the second one or either one. But then there's power. And the reason I bought this is I want to test this out because I have a client. It's a coffee shop. They have three locations. They're wanting to do a splash page. They're wanting to do captive portal. So you have to, you know, basically, yes, you agree not to surf BitTorrent, not to download porn, not to do all this other kind of stuff at a coffee shop because they are getting notices quite a bit. And so we got this. Now, I plan with this in it, you buy the power supply that comes with it, and then you can buy adapters. And these are enclosures. And this enclosure, basically the screw here, you unscrew the light socket, or not light socket, but a power plug, you unscrew that. Screw this in, it attaches.
It replaces the faceplate.
Well, no, you leave the faceplate on, you just use the screw.
Oh, just a screw. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. This then fits in here, like this.
Yeah.
This then fits in here, right? So now you have all of these together, and then the enclosure fits over the whole thing.
Yeah, nice.
Now, this is great because it does a mesh network. So with a mesh network, of course, you don't need all the adapters just talk to each other, right? You don't have to plug anything in. Except for the fact that I have to plug this one in. And if you notice, one giant flaw with this enclosure is that there's no holes in it. So I'm going to Dremel out a hole. I should face the camera. I'm going to Dremel out a hole on the side of it just so I can put an Ethernet cable through it. And then this, because it only takes up half of the power outlet, the other half will be power over Ethernet or Ethernet over power adapters. And then just run like a 1 foot cable from the Ethernet adapter, the power over Ethernet all the way through to this. And there we go. Now I've done my wireless network for the coffee shop. And then I can put three of them out in three different locations and completely control them remotely through a cloud interface. So that's my new plan for this coffee shop.
I look forward to hearing more about that. That sounds cool.
But you're still using the coffee shop's internet?
Yes, because these are just access points. They don't provide anything else. So I'm gonna have to use just a standard router, probably a wireless router, just turn off wireless to provide IP addresses to these, and go that route. So they do have their way.
You're setting this up for them,
right? I'm setting this up for them. So
I was lost. I thought you were doing it for yourself. I mean,
well, no,
I got you.
Right. So what's happening is they have a public and a private internet. Private, of course, is their point of sale system, and the public is their guests. But they need to be able to monitor it. They want to be able to disallow certain sites.
Right.
So we'll probably use some content filtering solution, maybe OpenDNS or something on the back end to be able to get that done.
Great blacklist and such. And I suppose that there's also a method of enabling it during certain times of the day. So obviously there's no need for that to be available 24 hours a day.
No, yeah, you're right. And we can turn it off. I set it up here locally, and it overlays on a Google map, and it shows you how many people are logged in at a time. So you could quickly, they could quickly glance at a Google map and see that there's, 20 people in one shop, 13 in another, and 15 in another, and just by looking at a map. So yeah, and Liam from Liam Tech, Liam Tidwell, he's the one who turned me onto this. Now there's other applications out there or other providers. My friend in California uses one called Ubiquiti. Same concept, except that you have to provide a server to do the cloud to do the monitoring, managing, and all that kind of stuff. So he has a server in his office that he manages his clients with. Where this one, if the clients need to get in and make any changes, I want to be able to give them a cloud-based platform that they can do that. And the cloud-based uses a application called CloudTrax. And you just go in, log on, create a user interface, and then you just assign nodes. You take the MAC address and off this, and it assigns it, and everything works. So,
well, I look forward to hearing more about that. That sounds pretty outstanding.
Yeah, the whole kit altogether was under $100.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. It's like $100 per shop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Essentially, okay. $100 for that's, and that's just for the enclosure and the adapter.
Yeah.
You have your Ethernet over power and all that kind of stuff. Those cost a little bit more. But if you sometimes you buy them in fours or in two pairs because you have to have them in pairs. We've talked about before. Then there you go. You can split them out. You can split the cost and split the design. So there's the other tool I got, I got a Nexus 7. Adam Hammett, he's a member, a friend of the Podnuts community. He had one that he purchased, wasn't using it, and sold it. Posted out, "Hey, I'm selling it." I've known him. We've talked before many times, and so I knew where I was getting it from. Knew that he was a trusted, reliable source, and snagged it up. And this came in yesterday, and that came in yesterday. So I've been spending quite a bit of time trying to get it all modified and set back up. So now I have a Nexus 7. Rooted it and I'm ready to go. But man, all I wanted to do was just sit down with this thing and
like
make some changes. Yeah, I can play cut the rope and sew in much bigger now. I'm excited. King Candy is like he's right there.
My wife, she lives on hers.
I find the same thing, especially doing so much residential work. I walk in and it's like a few years ago. It's like, I need my computer back. I gotta have my computer back. I'm surprised how often now I'm like, I got the tablet. I do this and that. Right. It's a few days, whatever. I'm like, wow, this is outstanding.
Yeah.
The only time my wife uses her laptop is to pay bills. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I did is I ended up rooting my Kindle Fire and making that a Linux device, and it worked okay. It did the job. It just was so slow. The Android on the Kindle Fire is not made for that. It has its own proprietary one, and it worked well. All I did was use it for when I was here working. It was sitting right over here on my laptop. It was what I was watching, Hulu or Netflix or pulling a video down. That's what I used it for. I didn't barely any gaming. I took it with me to conferences thinking, oh, I'll use Evernote to take notes. It just wouldn't. It just didn't have the engine behind it. It really lagged.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think the 7 has higher specs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the newer ones. I haven't messed with it too much, like I said. The other one, the Kindle, it was just eating away battery. It was always running at 89%. I go to clean it up and it would, you cleaned out, 47 megs and it would still run at 89%. It was just kind of like it was just tapped out the whole time. Right. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's my new, those are my two new toys. Both ones for a client. I got to get working on ones for me. I want to work on that. So
good for you. Well, you can use one to log into the other.
I you totally can. There that's is it. Actually a on the, with the CloudTrax, there is an Android app so you can monitor your wireless access points. So
there actually is an Android app. Okay, great. Brought full circle. Outstanding.
Yep, full circle.
Wow. Cool, man. I like them gizmos.
So what have you guys been up to?
I had Well, you guys do this full time, working on stuff. You know, I just do it on the side for friends, whatever. So a guy at work, he had a HP desktop. It's a newer one. Came with Windows 7. And he said he had it for a while. And his, I think he got it from his brother-in-law. And it didn't work long before. It just would keep, it kept on rebooting. And so he brought it into me. I said, I don't need anything. Just bring me the tower. I got all the wires. So he brings it in. I'm looking at the back of it. There's no ATX power supply in there. So he uses one of those, like, a laptop power supply deals.
Okay, all right, all right.
Those mini ITX boards, mm-hmm. or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Was this a HP 8000 Elite?
No, it wasn't 8000 Elite, but it was a, I can't remember the number.
No.
And
well, I'm just asking.
So, and he works Wednesday through Friday, right? I mean, I'm sorry, Wednesday through Saturday. So I had to wait for the next Wednesday for him to come in to get me the right stuff. Anyway, so he finally got it. And he said he wasn't worried about anything. He don't know how to do much. There's nothing on there that he needed to save. So I said, you know, can I do a reinstall? Yeah, I don't care. That'd be real good. So I tried to do it from the recovery partition. And at one point, it was going. I mean, I had to figure it all out because, you know, F8 is different on Windows. Getting to F8 is different on Windows 8 than it is on our previous PCs. Anyway, so it would start installing. Then it would get to a point where it would say, Windows can't continue the installation in safe mode, reboot. And I never could get out of there. You know, so what is up with that? So
is this Windows 8.1?
No, it wasn't 8.1. It is now. But anyway, no, I'll get to that.
I'm just giving you bad time.
But so talk to some other people. They're saying that, yeah, there's a lot of problems with those recovery partitions, you know, trying to reinstall Windows 8. And and if you have a retail disk, even though it's an OEM, you know, it's a HP computer, which I do. And I said, well, let me try that. And sure enough, it worked. Because it was the same version and it activated. Because they're, you know, the older PCs had the COA number on the side, whatever. But when those Windows 8 machines, you know, they have in the BIOS, serial number for, you know, your license copy.
Right.
Anyway, so it must have said, okay, this is okay. And it, you know, it authenticated, so updated everything, got it all the way up to 8.1. And for as low end specs as it was an AMD, it was running pretty good. You know, I got everything updated on there. So I'll see him tomorrow and see if he got it up. Cause he had to get some, he didn't have internet. But it was working pretty good.
Nice. Nice. The reason I asked if it was at HP Elite, cause last week I had talked about, sorry about that. The computers from the one of my clients, I brought them all the way up here, went to go reload them. They were the ones that were HPs loaded with the Dell.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I found the operating system. And so what happened was, for new listeners, is I brought up some computers. What the problem was is that they wouldn't validate, Windows wouldn't validate on them. Because they were HP machines donated. When they were donated, the person donating them just took a Dell OEM CD and wiped them with Windows 7. So it said Dell on them, but it was Win HP. And then they had all these huge issues. So they need to be wiped because they couldn't even validate. So I got them validated.
Make it legal, yeah.
Yeah, I got it all working. Found a Windows 7 64 CD that took the key. So they're valid. They're legal now. But I had to wipe and reload them. But they took that HP. They were HP Elite, so they were these tiny ones. And so I brought them up with me and then turned around and had to go a week later. I had to drive back down. It's 6 hours to get there. Had to drive back down. Luckily, my kids were there, so I had to pick them up anyways and get a power supply and bring it home.
Wow.
My wife left this afternoon to go back down. She's going to go do some other stuff down there, but she's taking them back for me. So it's like,
bless her. you guys are familiar with Kerry Holzman, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did it. You know, he does a lot of good, real good videos, and he's a guest often on Podnuts. Anyway, he did a video on this, not my model number, but very close to it, on how, you know, cheesy or cheap HP, you know, did this PC. So this, the one I had is very similar to that. And he tried to build one with the same specs that HP used. Of course, what Kerry built was better than the HP one. I never seen a desktop with a laptop power supply.
Yeah.
How big was this unit? I mean, this thing was like a.
It was a desktop size, not a big one, but it's definitely not one of those mini things.
You're kidding.
But then you open it up inside, it has all this room in it. It's because it's got that mini ITX board in there, and it was just crazy. And another thing I couldn't get it to do, I kept on, because first I thought it was a hard drive problem. I was running its own utilities in there, and then I was running my C tools, whatever. And I tried to get it to set the boot device to the DVD-ROM. It would never save it. It would do it that one time. But then when I go out of it, I had to get back in there. So there was definitely issues. If you do a research on that, you'll see a lot of issues with those machines. But I got it on there.
And so. this is a Windows 8 machine, so it's not like it's been sitting around for a while.
I think he said it might have been close to 2 years old.
It's HP. It's hard to believe. I know, but
yeah, hard to believe. Not.
They're funny. Oh, they are silly. They do silly, silly things.
I mean, I can understand cutting corners, but really? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the whole, like, laptop-style power adapter. I mean, on one hand, I'm thinking, like, that's cheesy. I mean, come on. Just stick an ATX power supply. I mean, you're buying them for 45 cents a piece, you know. Then I'm thinking, you know, on the other hand, it's like, I've replaced power supplies other than HPs for years. A lot more often than I've had to replace those, charger adapters for laptops. Maybe they're on something.
But, I was wondering, because I never did the 8.1. The only time I mess with Windows 8 is mine, and I haven't even bothered. Since the hard drive went up, I haven't messed with it. But anyway, because I set it up without any, without a Microsoft account, and actually no password, I let him do that. And I didn't know if I thought you had to have a Microsoft account to get the 8.1 from the store, you know, and you didn't. Just get, you know, I did all the updates. There was no more. I said, well, maybe I can go ahead and get the 8.1, you know, the update. And sure enough, I went to the store and just downloaded it and installed, which took it was like 3 gigabytes, I think, the update.
My gosh.
And, yeah, but it didn't take long to install. I mean, to download, but it takes long to install. But it worked. Everything worked. And now it boots up to the desktop with 8.1 instead of the, not the Metro, what do they want to call it, the modern app look, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good.
Tim, any new listeners, Tim has always been a huge fan of Windows 8.
Look, I've said it before, and I'm not going to say it again. But everybody knows how I feel about Windows 8. I think I got stuck in time somewhere. I just got stuck in time where, you know, it was after the, you know, 3.5-inch floppies. So, I mean, those are too small. CDs, I mean, if it won't fit on a thing, it's just an update, for crying out loud.
Well, how many Windows 8 machines are you guys fixing? I know you had that one, Tim, right? Or that one you're messing around
with. I have a handful.
I haven't had many. I have customers that are I'm still kind of steering them toward the Windows 7. I'm kind of moving toward the Windows 8. I mean, I'm not quite there. And I have a few that are just hanging on. They're waiting till I say.
So I just don't think it's that bad at all, even before the 8.1 update.
Do you really want to start this with me?
No.
I mean, I think I respect your opinion, Mitch. I think everybody's entitled to their wrong opinion, but I just don't feel like it. I just don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, the safe mode thing is a little weird to get into, and I forgot how I did it. But there's a command you can make it look like the old, you know, the old way you get into Windows 8, which I didn't mess with. No, I just didn't think it was that bad.
Windows 8, it's give a little. It's time for Tim to give a little. We'll meet in the middle somewhere.
I mean, I don't use it, but I just don't think it's that bad.
Brad, don't tell me what I do and do not like. I think I know what I do and do not like.
Now, I use, I have a couple plans to use Windows 8. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I don't personally have one. I don't have a need for Windows 8 right now. All my enterprise clients are on Windows 7. So, and the computers that I have touched, I do realize that it is faster. The couple of the updates have made things a little slicker, a little snappier. I'm a Linux guy.
You're a Linux man on your personal computers, right?
Right. This computer that I run right now is Linux. Everywhere I go, I take this laptop with me. It's Linux. The computer behind me, that's a Windows 7 box. It's my Windows box in case I need to do anything. That's why it's off, because I'll swap out hard drives and stuff. But no, Windows 8 is fine. I'm not a big fan of some of the interfaces, but we've, you know, as Tim said, we've hashed this and beat this and talked about this quite a bit.
Martin.
Yes.
You know, I have that one box I got at Ubuntu. You remember me putting it on?
Oh, yeah, right.
And I had a trouble. I wanted to put Java on there. And so your command worked and everything, except it didn't work in Chrome. So it wasn't, because it worked fine in Firefox. But what it was, the most recent update in Chrome, it won't work. So I found an older one. So as soon as I put that older one on, it worked. Java was working fine. It was well documented.
Right, yeah, because Chrome has their own version of Java. It's called Pepper, so
it would not work. It would not work in the newer version.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mine works. I don't know. Anyways,
well, if you go to the site that I'm talking about, it may not work if you have the newer version of Chrome.
Oh well, so far everything's worked for me.
Yeah, because it will work in some places, but on this J Meeting site that I belong to a long time ago, it wouldn't work.
Oh,
but the older version did. The older version of Chrome, but it works fine in Firefox.
Well, speaking of Firefox, I haven't used Firefox in a while. I use it for testing, so I could see it on different stuff. But I've kind of started to maybe lean more towards Firefox. And last week we had talked about Xmarks, and remember we talked LastPass and Xmarks. And then in the chat room, they said turn off Chrome syncing to get Xmarks to work right, and I have done that. I did that last week, and so far, no issues.
Oh, there you go. Outstanding.
The bookmark syncing between Chrome and Firefox has worked very well, and so I'm excited for that. Today, Firefox released version 31. It looks different. It looks different in Ubuntu.
Why is Tim laughing?
I don't know.
Stupid.
It's been around for
stupid.
It really is.
It's stupid. It's stupid. But it took like 20 years. And I mean, 20 years. I mean, if you weren't around then, just believe me when I'm saying 20 years. It took like I don't know, 7-8 years to get from like 1 to 3, and then they got like, and then, well, I don't know, but then. Explorer, they started making, and then I don't know, Chrome got it. It's like, oh, well, we got to make new versions, so we're just going to call it, like, I think every time they update, they just, like, they go from, like, 17 to 45. They just skip a bunch, just so, like, they're, well, it's 31, so it must be better than, this thing.
What's the new Windows going to be called? What is that?
I'm sorry, and it makes me laugh, so anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, they've come out with some new stuff. It has a new tab. It has a new search bar. It also does some malware scanning based on some of the Google APK stuff. So I put the notes in the chat room. It'll be notes in the notes for the show. But 31 does look a little bit different. I was surprised by that. Also, with that update, at least for me on a Linux box, Thunderbird updated, and it has a completely different interface look. The basic native look is a lot different. It's not bad. It just has a different look. So I thought I'd throw that out there.
Cool. The Thunderbird does, or the new Firefox 31 has a different look?
Well, for me, Firefox has a little bit of a different look.
Okay.
But also Thunderbird also has a different look to me as well.
Did they not stop support for Thunderbird not too long ago? Or
I've been using Thunderbird. Thunderbird is the app that I used for on my Linux.
I thought they stopped support for it. You could still use it, but they weren't going to update it anymore. Of course, the GUI might be different if they're just updating that. I don't know. I thought you talked about it.
I don't know.
I actually felt the newest version. I don't even know what number. I guess I have 31. I don't know. Whatever. It recently updated. I thought, well, they kind of made it look like Chrome.
Right, that was a couple of versions ago. Now they've done some minor updates within that update to come out with 31.
Okay, I don't like that. I don't want everything to look the same. I don't know what I'm doing anyway. I don't want everything to look the same. Not right.
I know.
About Firefox, I've only got 30.0. Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh, Tim. Last Tuesday called.
I'm living in the past.
You're living. Stop living in the past.
That's right.
It's July 22nd, not the 20th.
They can pry 30.0 out of my cold, dead hand.
Oh, my gosh. So being a geek show, and we talk about geeks, we are geeks, I came across the website just today, and it's make use of site, and I'll throw it here in our little chat. It's called the Sacred Order of the Geeks. Mm. And you can go through here and figure out, well, you know, what kind of geek are you? Are you Das Uber geek? Are you Apple fanboy geek? Chick geek? Cosplay geek? Star Wars geek? Pop culture geek? Film geek? And it's things like, and they tell you how you rate. So like film geek. Know who? Oh, I don't even know who that person is. Okay. See, I'm not a film geek. Music geek. Knows the difference between math rock and math core. Scours online actions for obscure 70s ambient electronic Electronica vibes. If you're a Star Wars geek, knows the 12 parsecs of Han Solo's Kessel Run are a distance, not time measurement. Things like, here you go, Mitch, I know you're a Star Wars fan, knows over 10 ways to say honor in Klingon. So if you're a Trekkie geek.
Star Trek.
That's right. If you're a Trekkie geek, you should know over 10 ways to say honor in Klingon.
And I don't.
Well, you're...
But I still like them.
Are you at war with Star Wars geeks?
No, I just like Star Trek better.
So anyways, I thought this was a pretty fun... Like, you could get this on a poster. And you hang it up in your office if you wanted to. We'll figure out what kind of geek you are. Just something
fun. Why are you, Martin? I don't think I'm any of these. I'm like the anti-geek.
The anti.
Well, I like movies. So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was pretty good.
We should talk about movies sometime. Have a movie geek, movie podcast show.
We did touch on movies a little bit last week with the board games, Counting Down.
Oh, that's right.
I tell you what. That gave me a chuckle a few times last week.
How long ago was that movie made? It was a while ago.
Like 83.
War Games? 80,
it was a good 80, movie, too.
82?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Nick Shaw. Everybody knows our friend Nick Shaw. He's been on the show. He's sometimes in the chat. He came out with a new single technician pricing plan. So it's $179 annual for a single technician with no employees, but you qualify for the new pricing plan for D7-2. I just thought he's always doing something new, and that's pretty good.
He's a busy man. I don't know how he does it.
He is a busy man.
I think he has like elves or something in his basement working in his workshop. There's no way he does all that by himself.
He's like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. He just has Oompa Loompas doing everything for him.
You know what? He does have a Wonka-ish quality about him.
I'm calling you out, Nick.
Yeah.
Release the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, man. He should do a promotion with like golden candy bar wrap. Golden ticket.
The golden ticket. There you go. That'd be cool. All right, Nick. Golden ticket.
The foolish ticket. Yeah, he. Man, I'm not. That guy gets stuff done. He's always.
Oh yeah.
Coming on.
Oh yeah.
So he's not in there today, huh?
No.
He's busy today.
He's busy.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that. So came across another couple other things. I like bringing some stuff to the show. GFI. GFI is a product that I use for some monitoring and managing stuff. They came out with a website called 30 Best Free Tools for Sysadmins. And I thought, well, let me look at this because I do some system administration. Tim, I know you do a little bit, but I go down this and it says general tools for sysadmin, Dropbox, 7-Zip, PSPad, PuTTY, Windows sysadmin, email sysadmin, network sysadmin, security sysadmin. So there's different things depending on what you do. And you can mix and match, of course. But there's, you know, Wireshark and iPerf. And then you've got things like Microsoft Exchange Test Suite, Remote Desktop Client Connection Manager. So some of these I've heard of, some of them I haven't. But I thought I'd throw this in there. It looks like a good one to maybe go down and see if there's any of these clients ring a bell. Or you think, oh, maybe I want to look into that a little bit more.
How is the... So how do you find the GFI? Do you still like it? Is it working for you? What would you change about it?
Well, I wish there was more training. It's really easy to find something and complain about it. I wish there was more training. Some people say, oh, I find it really intuitive. I never did.
Oh my God.
I worked with Liam a couple times to try to figure things out. Now, I do know that you can call them, and they are very willing to sit down with you, their sales reps, and go over stuff with you and configure and tweak and test stuff with you. So that's good. But there's a lot of videos out there of this is what it can do, and they walk you through the steps, and they say this is what it can do, and they show you how things get done. But there's not a lot of this is how to do something. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That was my experience, too, where it was like, you know, here is this thing. It's almost as if you're presented with a giant box and there's just tons of switches and knobs and dials and everything, but they're not all very clearly marked. And you kind of know what you want to do, but you can't find the right knob and you tweak it just so. And of course, then once you get it all fixed up and it's like, blast. I find that this knob somewhere isn't quite, I got to tweak it and say, hey, I figured it out. And so that was my experience too, where it was like, it was very much like that, but, you know, when I needed support, fam, I mean, they were right there and they were helping me and they were, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I'm not selling GFI here, but really it was unlike most, you know, support that you expect when you call or you email. Very helpful and very, very much wanting to help and find resolution to it.
Right. Well, so what I called Liam for was I needed to get reports on a daily basis for what the computers are doing. So let me know, instead of me always having to go to the console to see what computer hasn't been updated, what computer needs patched, what computer is having issues, email me those reports. I couldn't figure out how to do that. Yeah. So I worked with him to do that. Now I'm in this situation where if a computer gets infected, because I have started pushing out some of their antivirus product and selling that, is how do I get reports? How do I get notified when a client has email? Do I always need, or a virus, do I always need to go to the console and to look and see what's happening? Because that's kind of, I thought the whole point of this was to make my job easier. So I need to figure that out. And it, like I said, it always feels like everything's just kind of so far. You can see it, you can almost touch it, but you just can't quite reach it, even though it's right there.
Well, actually, you want emails. You want an email saying, "Hey, this." I don't want all that to parade through. I mean,
I want an email when my client gets infected.
That's all the time.
Well, but I need to know that if my job is to monitor and manage and maintain that their computers are clean, I shouldn't be waiting for my customers to email me telling me they're infected. I should be calling them saying, "Hey, by the way, you're infected."
Right, right. Or you just it's
or clean it up for them.
That to me, that's what the console is all about. It was one screen, and I could immediately see what was going on. I mean, it was like,
sure,
it was like bam, 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 bam. This is what's going on. I mean,
well, if you look at the console, does that tell you?
But I have to be in the console, and if I'm on the road traveling. You know, one of the thoughts one of the things that I think about doing is actually right above my two monitors here is up on the wall here is getting another monitor, putting it up there, hooking it up to a Raspberry Pi, hooking up to a web page and just having the web page refresh.
Right.
You know, just have it up there all the time. So I can look up there. But the problem is that I have to be in my office. That worked really great when I was in a cube farm. We had these huge monitors on the wall that were monitoring network connections and we could see when a network goes down. But I'm not here all the time. And so I need to rely on my phone or my Nexus 7 to be able to notify me when I get those. But I want to make sure that, that's my thing.
I guess, of course, I don't know how many machines you have deployed on. I'm thinking that once you get to the point where, you know, it's, we had it deployed across so many machines, you know, getting the full-time job monitoring that. But, you know, actually getting the email, I understand what you're saying. That's to make that work for you right now, that's what you would need to do. And I can understand that. But I remember we just had so many machines. It was like, you know, I would just, you know, periodically just log in, see what's going on to do. Oh, this found this. Bam, and just, it was, I just felt like, you know, getting from the console, well, it was a console. I mean, we're just talking about logging into, you know, the website and just seeing the results of everything going on. And when things that you have defined as problems have been, when those conditions have been met, that's when, you know, it turns red and it goes to the top of the list. And so you just kind of go through it. I guess I just found that worked for me with what we were doing, but I understand what you're saying, Martin.
Well, I think we're looking at it from two different sides too. You know, Liam, when talking with Liam, he has this deployed out to a whole bunch of people. And yes, if I really had this supporting, or I was doing a lot of one-on-one or clients as far as just families or just people, you know, I'm selling GFI to this person down the street or that person down the street or people just coming into my shop, that's different because yes, they're going to get infected all the time. But if my job is to manage and maintain a office infrastructure, then if things are getting in and you're getting infected, then I may not have been doing something right on the firewall or content filtering or something like that in a much bigger environment. So I want to get notified because I want to make sure that my business clients, like enterprise clients, are being protected, not necessarily notified when every mom and pop who has this installed is getting infected, because yes, that will overwhelm my box.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I understand what you're saying. You know, you're talking about, you know, patients that would alert you that there is some issue with the big picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, I mean, generally the stuff that we were seeing were alerts. And that's the thing is that Viper, you know, that's what it's actually running is the Viper. It was so good. Basically the alerts were like, "Hey man, I found this and I quarantined it." You know, it was like, you know, basically it was up to you to say, "Well, do I want to empty the quarantine or do I want to restore it?" It's like, no. So, you know, so many of the alerts were just like, "We have quarantined a thing that the user has, you know, like self-inflicted." So it's like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the DEFCON was raised to, you know, some horrible, you know, the red lights flashing, the whole thing. It's just like, oh, I see that. I see it must be Thursday at 8:30 because I see John's looking at that one website again. Thanks, John. You know, and so it's a click,
right.
And it's gone. And so we never got to the point where it was like there was real like CSI work to determine that we had like major issues. It's a good point, though. I mean, that's like you're so responsible with your customers. I mean, it's like you want them to have the best, and you're so proactive. I mean, I really have to say that. But I mean, generally, it's just like, you want to install this coupon ad bar? Well, yes, I'd love to have this coupon ad bar. That's, you know, and you just get, I mean, it's like, if I got emails telling me that Viper had quarantined this jerk installing a coupon ad bar again, I think I would just, I'd have to throw a computer out the window.
Right. Right. Well, what happened with me is I have a client and she's very particular about her laptop. Like she really, really, really hates it with anybody uses it, including her husband and kids. So she brought it to me and she says, hey, it's not working right. And sure enough, under the music folder, there was, you know, whatever song.exe. And I'm like, songs aren't supposed to be executable. So somebody had been doing something with it. I get in, I fix it remotely, run spyware, run, you know, malware bytes and clean it all up. And that just adds fuel to the fire of her saying, see, I told you people shouldn't be messing with my laptop. But if I was able to get that and if I was able to get that notification, clean it up, she would be happier. She would just feel like everything's safe. There's nothing to worry about.
That's not your fault. That's her fault because somebody else used it. Kid used it, and that's what happens because it's not your fault if they let their kids wander around the streets at midnight and they get sold drugs. That's not your fault. That was their mistake that happened in their house. You can't be responsible for everything, Martin.
All right.
All right then.
All right.
Hey, it's a bad world and bad things happen sometimes to good people, but it's not your fault.
All right.
All right then.
All right.
We'll work through some affirmations and daily stuff in the mornings. I'll call you.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, Tim likes me.
Doggone, it's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
Not your fault.
All right. So I have some emails. If you guys, do you want me to move on to emails?
Let's do it. Unless right. I don't know. I mean, it's like,
are they complaining? Well, I don't know. I don't want to interrupt. Bad? If you guys have other things you want to talk about.
I was kind of slow. You know, I was out of town for a few days last week. Typical stuff, you know, slow. It's like an old Vista machine.
Nice. That always works.
Week today, I said, look, I said, I could put you in an SSD and reinstall it, but why would you do that? It's Vista. It's old. Next time you call me, we'll just get you a new computer. So.
Yeah, I had a similar one, too. This lady at work, she quit and she uses Shutterfly, and it's not, she couldn't get it to work. She could go on there, but she's trying to, like, I never used it before, but, you know, you can drag pictures from one folder to another. Or I said, give it to me, and she gave me her password. So, first thing I did, I cleaned it up. I had some infections. I use Hitman Pro, which we are used on there before, and it, you know, it doesn't work after 30 days, but it'll tell you where everything's wrong. So I manually cleaned all that up and junkware removed the tool, found some things. So it was all clean, and I get on there and I figure everything out. Everything's working fine here. So I take it back to her the next day, and she said, I still can't do nothing. I said, well, let me remote into your machine. Okay. First of all, it was really, really, really slow. And so she logged on. Actually, it was working. She was doing what she couldn't do. But let's do some speed tests. She's got DSL. the best we could do was like less than a meg down, not even a half up. So she's gonna switch to. I think she's gonna switch to Comcast. I say, yeah, you can't. There's demanding apps, you know, online. You need more speed.
And you know what, too? That's always like the first thing. When they say it's slow, it's like, you really have to like ask them, well, what's slow? You know, and you find out, well, it's when you first turn it on, it's slow. It takes forever to get the desktop. Well, I can play a movie or music, but, you know, if I want to load a web page, well, then it's slow, right? I mean, they just see that as all like the same thing. It's all the same thing to them. So it's an important question. I think you learn to ask early.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It was slow when I got here, but I mean, when I got done with it, was
no.
Snappy,
No, I understand that. It's like you had it rolling. You take it back, and she got the same problem. I hate that. I hate when they call and they got the same problem. I'm like, it always works fine here, you know, when you're done.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, Martin. Unless you got anything else, Mitch.
No, I won't interrupt you guys.
Do the good ones first. Like Cheers and Jeers. I always read the Jeers first.
Well, it's kind of a mixture. It's a mixed bag. And it ties into our NAS information. So it's going to be, we're going to have some emails, and then we'll talk about our NAS stuff.
Right.
So the first one's from Raymond, and he says, Geeksters Crew, with an exclamation mark. So he was pretty excited about talking to us. He said, is the show idea about the NAS gone? I've been thinking I might just start saving up for a Synology 4 disk that has at least a dual NIC in it, so I can run a RAID 5 with CrashPlan as a Synology app. I didn't know CrashPlan had a Synology app. That's good information for me. Anyways, it is not the cheap option, but honestly, by the time you end up with 4+ drives, no options are really cheap anymore. Martin mentioned using Google Spreadsheet and Forms. I cringed a little when he talked about re-adding customers as a drop-down list. There is a greater cheat I think you can use for this. Although it's not in a form, I sent this to Dora a while ago. It's a spreadsheet I set up managing a to-do items that work well in my small infrastructure team. And I asked him if I can put that note, that link into the notes. So it'll be in the notes. It says it uses things under the project list and menu items tabs to populate the drop-down list on the first tab. Marking things as done or discarded causes a macro to run that automatically moves them to the appropriate tab. You should be able to make a copy of the Google Doc and use it as your own and adjust. Now, I said all that because you can use a similar logic when making forms. It just requires a script from the gallery, but it works well in the times I have used it. Just click on Tools, Script Gallery, and search for Form Ranger. Granted, one would hope you never have to do that again anyways. As you noted during the show, yes, Vista in 2008 and up have a better disk management tools, but you still sometimes have the need to use GParted or other tools to force in what you want. Another example of what that is when dealing with dynamic versus basic disks. The above is long enough, and I've had many other thoughts during the last show, but I tend to listen while I'm driving and not while I'm sitting in front of, say, Evernote, where I build my overall task list. If time permits, I might go back through, grab those other points, but I wouldn't count on it. Well, at least he's honest. Love the show. Keep up the good work, and thanks for bringing that so much information in such an entertaining fashion. Thanks, Raymond.
Wow, thanks.
So the notes are in there. I did not know about the synergy with the CrashPlan app, and that's great because I have a client who has two Synology devices, Synology devices, and what he wants to do with that is link them both via the web. So, but he's thinking about wanting to also do some kind of an offsite backup, so maybe that'll work there. So just a note for that. Hi, guys. And this is from Keith Vincent. He says, hi, guys. Great show, and I always enjoy listening to you all. He actually says you all in there, so that wasn't me. I'm wondering if there's anything that can be done about the audio levels for future shows. Specifically in this show, I think he's referring to last show, Tim's audio varied, but most of the time it was quite lower than Martin's volume. It made it more difficult for me to listen to while having to raise and lower the volume. I'm not sure what's causing it, perhaps just a variation of his voice or the closeness of the mic. So, Tim, you got to speak up. People are saying you talk too quiet.
Sorry.
What was that? Could you repeat that a little closer?
That's, yeah, you know what? Well,
You all sound even on here.
Yeah, I think
I don't know how I sound. But.
That's probably something that we'll get with post production and have a short meeting and see what review the complaint and see what takes to resolve it.
Yeah. So okay, let me go on. So it says also a few months ago you mentioned reviewing the NAS setups. Is that still on the works? Do any of you plan to attend the meetup with Mike Smith and Corey Holtzman? Mike Smith, Cho, and Tech Vets. It's happening in Phoenix on August 4th. It would be nice to know if others will be there, and perhaps such a sub meetup could be possible. Thanks, Keith Van Sant. I then responded back to Keith to ask him questions of where is he listening to, because I thought maybe he's listening to Google, maybe he's listening to the Yahoo channel, and they do have a tendency to waver. He is listening to it through iTunes. I went back and listened to last week's show on my podcast application on my Android, and we sounded pretty level. So it could be a combination of a whole bunch of things, but we'll work on that, Keith, and see what we can come up with.
Yeah.
He wanted to know if we're going to the Mike Smith and Corey Holtzman meetup, and that's with Mike Smith, Corey Holtzman, Lisa Hendrickson from Call That Girl is going to be there. I believe a couple other people, maybe even a couple people in the chat room, maybe in there. I don't know yet. I researched it. I have a ticket. I could go. It's a $380 round trip ticket flight for me. I could drive. It's an 18-hour drive.
That's my goodness gracious.
You know, so I couldn't be gone the whole time because it is a Monday through Thursday conference. So I'd be flying down on a Thursday or flying down like a Sunday, meet up with everybody, maybe come home on Monday night or Tuesday. I don't know yet. I'm going to be doing some research. So
He's a really nice guy. I mean, both those guys. I mean,
you know, I've never met Lisa. I want to meet Lisa. I know there's a couple other people that I'd like to meet and go and attend and visit and say hi to. I don't know yet. We'll have to see. I don't know. Keith then replies back to another email, and he says, I've gone ahead and set up a free NAS at home using an old Dell Optiplex 755, maxed out on RAM, and installed 5 2-gigabyte hard drives in it. I used it for running Plex in my house, and I'm pretty happy with it. So the NAS topic, we had brought this up a while ago about wanting to know whether or not they would be interested in doing a NAS, what our thoughts were, would we be interested in reviewing some NAS stuff? It is. I'm still interested in reviewing a NAS. I'm still interested in building a NAS. It's just been time. And that's kind of where we're at right now, at least for me, is that. So how does this bring me back all the way to the beginning of our conversation today about OSCON? Mm. I met up with the free NAS people today. They were talking, and we were talking about NAS, and I said, you know, I've got clients, I do a podcast, and we're talking about doing a NAS show and stuff like that. And she says, would you be interested in testing out some free NAS hardware?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I would be interested in testing out some free NAS hardware. So I'm going to be getting them some numbers. So this is, and we can hopefully get some free NAS hardware. So this is where the listeners come in. We have to give them numbers of how many people listen, how many people download. Please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dogs, tell your cats about Geeksters. We can get some more downloads. We can get some NAS hardware. I mean, I'll build a free NAS. We don't need the hardware, but it'd be great to have a free NAS box that came from them ready to go with everything on it. And we can get everything, you know, doing that.
Sweet. Look at you, man. You're all moving and shaking and making connections and greasing some palms.
You're talking about having somebody
done, man.
Having somebody win it?
No. This would be just basically, here's the device, test it, play with it, and then when you're done with it, send it back to FreeNAS.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. No, because they said, oh, you can't keep it. I said, well, that's fine. But, you know, I said that was fine. I think it sounds like, sorry, I guess PC Fred's going to be there and at the meetup. So, see, now I gotta go. I want to see Fred again. Fred, I get it. Bring, come pick me up. Take your plane. Come pick me up. That's what I'm thinking. Get in your little plane.
Get in your little plane. Get your Barbie jet and come pick me up.
Get up here. Pick me up. I'll be out on the street hitchhiking. So that's what I got. So yes, I think
that's not very high tech. You know, thumb in it is not high tech.
Well, okay. I'll get a little laser beam and I'll with my Raspberry Pi and I'll flash a Morse code of where I'm at.
You're just making light of me.
Oh yeah, I usually wait till after the show to do that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
On your little blog.
On my blog.
I had to do the show with them again.
We don't have a blog. We should blog.
But yeah, we don't anymore. They took it away.
Took it away.
Took it away.
So the NAS is still in the works. I want to do one. I know other people sound like they want to hear what we have to say about a NAS box. Are you guys still interested?
Oh yeah, I am. Absolutely. I mean, that's so outstanding. Like you're telling people you do this show and they're hooked. Every time I tell some people I do this show, I always get the same reaction. They go, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know. They know. Are they listening? Are they downloading?
No. I mean, that's the whole point. I'm like, oh yeah, they're like, oh yeah, I saw that. Saw that in Google results. And I was like, yeah, I know. I only have the heart to. It's just crying. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, do you listen? I can't bring myself to ask that question. Do you listen?
Oh, you got
to
ask.
I mean, answer.
What do you think?
No.
What do you think of that, Martin?
They're like, I don't want to listen to you right now. I'm not going to download things and listen to you more.
Exactly.
Well, that's good for you, man. This is great getting out there and getting the Podnuts name out there, building the brand.
So yeah, but she wanted to know our numbers. And I'm like 34, 26, 34. I don't know what you want. That's
phone numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she. I gave him my business card. So I don't know. No, I think they want to know download numbers, and so I'll be getting that information. But
actual marketing information.
Like stuff that's important. Like they don't care about. But I think they want to know because they want to know how, you know, if they give me something to test or give us something to test, and we have one person listening, and it's my Aunt Sue. They don't care. Aunt Sue, thanks for listening. Just want to shout outs to my aunt.
Still rules, Sue.
Big props. All right. Well,
that's cool, man.
Thanks. You guys got anything else to throw into the Geeksters pool of wonder?
Yeah, it was nice being back for a whole show.
Buddy, it was good to have you back. What show have you yet?
We can just kill it right now.
Haven't made the whole thing like yet. But I mean, yeah, it's like, good to have you back. Bitch, we missed you, man.
Cross my fingers. Oh, shoot. Audacity's not running. No, just kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's funny. But then it may be too loud because I'm not used to using the... I'm not using my mixer. And just straight USB.
You got Tim busting up over there.
I'm using the same mic Tim's using. The Samsung.
Yeah, are you... You'll be back down in your lair next week, Mitch.
They haven't started. It's going to be, it might be months.
Well, it's a little disconcerting to see you on that couch.
I feel like I'm working too hard. I'm in my office, and Mitch has got his feet up. I feel
like I'm visiting an old folks home over here.
It's got an electronic recliner.
Nuh-uh.
Old folks. Mitch is sipping on pudding.
I got a button on this. I can.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you ever, I would never get out. I would never get off that couch.
Look
at that. Mitch is just, he's pretending like he's in an elevator, walking down the elevator.
We were talking about putting, like, maybe keeping this up here for my podcast and stuff, and putting the furniture down there and not using that for a computer room anymore. But I don't know. Who knows? We don't know. But it's going to be a while before it gets fixed.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're like 3 weeks behind the restoration company. They clean it up and they can repair everything too. So we're just going to let them do everything.
Are you going to paint?
They're going to paint. They're going to paint all the walls but one, because one wall didn't get wet. But like where it was leaking on the ceiling tiles. You know, I got that drop ceiling.
Yeah.
It's a little teeny piece. If they can't match it up, they said they might have to replace the whole ceiling, all the ceiling tiles.
Yeah.
And they should paint one wall. Come on. One wall.
One wall?
Mitch will grab a roller when they go to lunch.
They said, you know, we paint all three walls except one. Like, why?
Because it didn't get wet and it's a different color.
Yeah. Slip on 20. Say, do you know who I am? I'm Mitch. I'm on Geeksters.
You know, every time I say that, the answer is always, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I know you
What's
are.
The Geeksters?
The show you're on. Oh, my gosh. It's time for Mitch to go to sleep. He's had his pudding. It's time for him to go to bed.
Yeah, I've got 2 hours. 10 o'clock's my bedtime.
Don't rush him. Don't rush him. Don't rush him.
We do have to wrap this up. I think Matt Locke's coming on.
Yes. followed by Perry Mason. All right.
Guys, making fun of me?
I wouldn't take. I wouldn't take that off of
just me. Because I got dare. a birthday coming up.
I wouldn't even dare make fun of you, Mitch. You know where I live.
I got one more year left, and I'll be out of the 50s, and I'll be 40.
You're digressing.
You're going the other way.
I'm going the other way. All right. Well, Mitch, if before you go the other way, before you digress too much, where can people get a hold of you?
Me?
Or us? You? Whoever.
Well,
they want to send you like a care package or something.
You know, geeksters@pilots.com. And also, we haven't had a voicemail in a while. And do that at 7076-PODNUT. That's 7076-PODNUT.
Just one. Just it's singular, not plural.
Actually, I can say the whole number here is 707-676-3688.
You lost me at 707.
I'm looking at podnuts.com. It's right on there.
All right, Tim. If people want to get a hold of you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean.
Loud and in the microphone, please.
If you want my digits, there's 7076 podnut. If you want my numbers, you can get me. I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+. Yo.
Nice. Tim's looking sharp today. Got that beard trimmed.
I trimmed mine, too. It's micro beard. All right, if people want to get a hold of me, tell me anything. Send us some email. Talk to us, guys. Martin@obandocomputing.com. You can catch me. I'm M. Obando in the Google+. We've got, the Podnuts is moving to kind of moving away from the forums, moving to Reddit. There's great shows. We mentioned a couple of them. Lisa Henderson has a Call That Girl on Podnuts. We've got Android App Addicts. There's Links for the Rest of Us. There's a fitness one. There's a weight one. It's a health one. Oh, my gosh. A couple weeks, we're having Jeff Halish. On the show, who handles the...
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so he does the Podnuts Daily and Podnuts Tech stuff. So if you are a tech and you want to talk about what you do, or if you own a shop and you want to talk about what you do, get a hold of Jeff at that same number, 7076-PODNUT. Let him know. You can get on the show. He can interview you. You can get your name out there. And thanks for everybody just coming out and listening and checking Geeksters out. Get the numbers up. I want to get that NAS device. And if nothing else, guys, have a great Geeksters fiscal week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Oh, speaking of next Tuesday, if this comes out before then, we're going to be starting a half hour earlier next Tuesday at 3 o'clock Eastern. Sorry, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. My daughter singing the national anthem for our Hops AAA baseball team. Very cool. She's got to be there early. So we're going to start a little earlier. But so, but I'll send out a note if you check us out or watch us on Google Plus or any of the social media. I'm going to put that note in there. So, all right, guys, have a great fiscal week. We'll see you later.
All right, stop.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.